be the same. But I'm not sure if I'll remember your name, but I'll remember your face and all the chase and all the walk of shame.
Hi, and welcome to my podcast, episode number 3 in the series where I discuss or talk about everyone I have ever slept with. In this episode, I'll be talking about my third ever experience with a guy named Glenn, who also became my first ever boyfriend, and also the first guy I went all the way with as well. Just to kick it off, how I met Glenn. So in the first couple of episodes, I did discuss the social support group that I used to go to for gay people that were 18 and under. At the time, I was 17 years old. And I met Glenn there. I'd been going to this support group for a while. Glenn hadn't been to the first few that I went to. But, he rocked up at maybe the fourth one. And when he walked in, he sat down next to me, actually, in the... We do like a group circle kind of thing. When I saw him walk in and sit down next to me, I thought he was the first guy in that group that I actually had found attractive. I've been going to that group for a while and there were, you know, heaps of guys there, like, you know, at least 15 people every time and not always the same people, but I'd never really found anyone that attractive there, up until Glenn had come in. So, interesting that he sat next to me. In that group, everyone was friends with everyone. We got to hear Glenn's story when he came in, so all the new members would, you know, give a bit of a background on who they are and why they're there. Glenn, he was also 17, so same age as me. He lived far in Melbourne, like in really, really far outer suburbs, near a place called Hastings. If anyone knows Melbourne, you know, Hastings is quite far from the city. He said he had a boyfriend before and they'd been going out for, 4 or 5 months and they just broke up. And he was a bit upset about it. And that's why he's at the support group, to meet new people, make new friends and maybe find a new partner. The first, month of meeting him at the group, nothing had happened between me and him. You know, we'd hang out with all the other guys in the group, go out for coffee, things like that. And then the next month when the group happened again, he had all these invites with him for his birthday party that was upcoming. Actually, it was his 17th birthday party, so he was just turning 17. He gave everyone in the group an invite to his party and it was, you know, in a week or two from the date that we were at. And, interesting. Most people from the group were going to go to the party despite how far it was and I was going to go as well, obviously, because I really liked Glenn. There was another guy in the group that also really liked Glenn. I can't remember this guy's name, but I'm just going to call him Michael just so there's something to reference him as to make the story a bit easier to understand. So this guy, Michael, he was a bit annoying. He was all over Glenn and Glenn obviously just did not seem interested in him at all. Michael also, I don't really want to put him down, but he wasn't attractive at all. Like he had really big features. He looked about 28 and, you know, he's meant to be 17. Maybe he actually was 28. I don't know. He's a bit camp. Not that that's a bad thing, but I don't know. It's just hard to explain. He just was not the sort of guy that I didn't find him attractive. And I can't imagine many people finding him attractive. And then he was also really pushy and a bit annoying and just sulk and complain about everything and, I don't know. Just one of those sort of people. I think you might understand who I'm, like, the sort of person I'm referring to. Michael also went to the party. So, it was a week later. We all go to the party and Michael somehow was already referring to Glenn as his boyfriend. It was really weird. Like, I don't even know how that came about, but it was just something that happened. And... it may have been part of Glenn's attempt to get away from this Michael guy. But even so, at his house, Glenn came up to me and put his hand on my knee. And he said, I really like you. And I said, I really like you too. And then he said, do you want to be my boyfriend? And I said, yes. And then, obviously, Michael had witnessed this whole thing. And then, you know, he was outside crying at the party. And I remember Glenn's sister, who was there, was later having a go at Glenn, like yelling at him, saying, what have you done to Michael? He's come all the way out to be with you. And you end up going off with this Andy guy. And, you know, I was, yeah, pretty surprised his sister, you know, was not supportive of him, you know, going for doing what was right in the end. You know, why would, you know, she expect Glenn to be with this guy, Michael, when, you know, Glenn didn't even lead him on or anything like that. It was just what happened. So anyway, further down the track, or further down the night, into the night at the party, everyone else had gone home. My friend, my other friend from the group who was there, Jason, had told me though, before he left, he said to me, just make sure you're honest with Glenn about being a virgin, because I was a virgin, hadn't gone all the way yet. And I took that advice on board. So anyway, everyone else in the group went home. So now at Glenn's house, Glenn had asked me if I wanted to stay the night. So I was still there. So now it was just me, his parents and his sisters and one of the sisters' boyfriends there. There was no one else at the house from the party. All the other guests had gone home. So yeah, me and Glenn go to his room. All the family go to bed. You know, the parents didn't seem to have an issue with me staying over and sleeping in the same bed with Glenn. And yeah, so one thing led to another. We started pashing. You know, we went down on each other, and we're fooling around for a while in his bed. And then Glenn did say, "Can I fuck you?" And taking the advice from my friend earlier from the party, I said, yes, but I've never been fucked before. So, you know, I was willing to try it and willing to, you know, make him happy. So, yep, he pulled out a condom and put it on. And, you know, just that anticipation, like, you know, it makes you tremble, sort of. You're like, oh, my God, I'm about to do it. I'm about to do it. And then, yeah, then he suggested what position we do. And the position was just him sitting down and me sitting on him, which worked. So, that's pretty much what we did. He sat down. We're both naked. I sat on top of him. And then slowly, you know, he eased it in, or, you know, my waist went down. And yeah, it was really interesting the first time, just how it feels like you feel like something foreign is in there. You're like, what is that? You know, you kind of feel like it's a bit wrong, but it feels good. And you kind of, you feel happy. You're pleasuring someone. It didn't hurt that much. It did hurt a bit, but you know, after a while you just sort of ease into it. And then, so I was riding him for a while, or he was guiding it mostly, and then he suggested we change position and go into doggy style, and we did that. And then, yeah, so he fucked me for maybe, you know, 5 or 10 minutes. It was really hot. I'm pretty sure he was happy, you know, topping a virgin for the first time as well. Or maybe that wasn't his first time doing a virgin. Definitely wasn't his first time doing someone, as he, you know, dated guys before me. And then, yeah, that was it. And I remember just at the end, he gave me a kiss and that was really sweet. And then he was asking, oh, does it hurt down there? And I was like, yeah, it does a bit, you know, it does hurt for a while, like a few days after the first time as well. And then, yeah, about a week or two later, you know, we did it again. The same thing, but I remember the second time, you know, we didn't do the sitting position first. We went straight into doggy style. And it really, really hurt. I remember having to ask him to back out, like, as soon as he put it in. It just felt, like, so painful. And then, yeah, when that happened, I had to, like, stop for 10 minutes and, like, sort of wait for the pain to go away before we could actually do it. That was the second time. So, anyway, yeah, so Glenn, I guess, overall, he was very, very similar to me. Like, we're both the same age. We're the same height. We're both really skinny. We both had brown, long hair. And we both had, like, green eyes. So it's kind of uncanny now. He was the first guy I found attractive in that support group that I went to, but he was also probably the first guy there that was similar to myself. Like, I know, does that sound narcissistic? Maybe it does. It's just weird that. But we dated for about, maybe up to 3 months. And we didn't get to see each other very often. So I lived in the very northern suburbs of Melbourne. He lived in the very southern suburbs of Melbourne. And I mean, to get from his house to my house and on a weekend, because I was in high school, so I could only really see him on the weekend, I'd have to get a walk to the train station, which took about an hour, you know, wait for the train, could be 20 minutes or even longer. And then train into the city from my house was about 40 minutes. That's already almost 2 hours gone there. And then I'd have to wait for a train out to Frankston line, which you could be waiting for like half an hour on the weekend or more. And then from there, that train took another hour as well. And then I had to get on another sort of, a metropolitan train that goes beyond Frankston, out towards Hastings. And that takes like that train only comes every like 2 or 3 hours. It just would take 4 hours to get from one of our houses to the other. It was too young to have a license to drive or anything as well. So it didn't last too long. I remember, he called me and said, I think we need to break up. It wasn't because of the long distance thing. He just said, doesn't feel the same way for me anymore. I was very heartbroken, even though we didn't go out that long. But your first love, regardless how long it is, you do feel some level of attachment that might take a while to overcome. So I said, yeah, it's fine. You know, I didn't seem to care too much about it. I did, but I pretended not to care. You know, and I got over it when I found someone new a few months later anyway. So it was all good. And since then, I've never really seen him around. I've had other friends run into him and, you know, say, oh, I saw Glenn the other day and blah, blah, blah. And even my brother had run into him a few times as well. But I never ran into him at all the nights I went out clubbing in the gay scene in Melbourne. I never saw him once. He did, again, he added me to Facebook later in life. So it was 97 when we were going out, 1997. Facebook came out about 11 years after that, approximately. He added me to Facebook. He had changed his name, his first name. I can't remember what he changed it to the first time. Then he deactivated his account and then he re-added me to Facebook and he had a new account with a new name. And again, he's done that for the third time, actually, just recently. And he sent me a message via Messenger. And we were chatting, reminiscing the old times. He was showing me old photos of me and him together, which was really cute. And, yeah, he suggested, yeah, we should catch up when he's in Melbourne next. He's moved into interstate. So, anyway, he's a nice guy. I'll probably catch up with him just to reminisce old days if that happens, if he comes to Melbourne. But yeah, otherwise that's my third experience and my first ever boyfriend. Interested to know, what your experiences was like with your first boyfriends. And in my next episode, I'll be talking about my second ever boyfriend, James. And I'll need to do a bit of research on that because I can't really remember too much about him. I've got no photos of him either. Anyway, I'll discuss it then. See you in the next episode. Thanks for listening. Yeah.